Today is March 25th, 2015, and this is episode number 299 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin. I'm a joker, a smoker, and a midnight toker. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com.
I'm thinking the first thing people need to question about the show is your title from today.
Maybe it doesn't mean what I think it means.
I'm guessing it probably does not.
I'm assuming what it means is that you regularly tip at the poker table at midnight. Midnight toker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you've got it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. That's what it is.
And a smoker refers to my penchant for smoking my own barbecue meats.
Yeah.
Right? That's what that means, isn't it?
That's exactly what it means. And what you should do, because this is going to do wonders for your reputation, that the next time you're at a big Apple Media event and you're shaking Tim Cook's hand, just stick your hand out. Hi, I'm Brian Chaffin. I'm a smoker and a toker. It's going to work out great.
Teetotaler Brian. Borrowing from Steve Miller. It's kind of funny. Sort of, to me.
I find it incredibly funny, too. But then again, I know you very well.
Thanks. So, OS X, legal in Louisiana.
Oh, I can't believe you went there.
Oh, legal in Louisiana. 14, turned 14 yesterday.
I feel like I just need to go take a shower and cry now.
You know, I would say that I kid our fans in Louisiana, but we probably don't have any. That was truly just kidding. Actually, Louisiana is a beautiful state.
It is. That's where New Orleans is.
Indeed. And New Orleans is an amazing town.
Mm-hmm. There's some beautiful places in Louisiana.
Absolutely. Nonetheless, OS X turned 14 yesterday. Now, it was introduced to the world as Mac OS X, or as everybody but you pronounce it, Mac OS X. That's what we all thought it was.
Which, to me, seemed weird because everything had been numbered. It just seemed like they switched to Roman numerals, which apparently they did. And I was told by an Apple engineer before it came out, it's OS X.
Fair enough. Most of us didn't have Apple engineers that were our buds. And this is before you were working for us, mind you.
Yes. This is back in the days when I had my own Apple consulting business.
Right. And does Apple still maintain offices in that part of Colorado?
If they do, I don't know where they are. I don't think Apple has any offices out here. But at the time, they had a big presence here because there was one of the single largest installs of Macs in the country, which would have been US West, the phone company. Mm. And then there was a lot of other stuff happening that made having local offices with Apple employees a smart thing to have.
That makes sense. Now, did you ever learn anything while you were visiting with your engineering buddies at Apple?
I did, as a matter of fact. First off, I learned it's OS X, not OS X.
Not quite what I had in mind.
And I remember one of the times that I was getting to see OS X as a beta before it was being distributed out to developers, really.
So this is before the public beta, too.
Yeah, so this is before the public beta. I'm meeting with one of the engineers who has since moved on to bigger and better things.
And therefore cannot be fired by Apple.
Right. But I still won't say what their name is. I won't even identify their gender. They had two CDs sitting on the desk, and one said OS X PPC, and the other said OS X Intel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And so this would have been in like 2000?
Yeah, that would have been right.
Yeah, so why didn't you write up a story for us when you came to work for us about OSN coming to Intel at some point?
Well, at the time, I had actually... But when I started writing for TMO, I had totally forgotten about the disk. And it wasn't until we got the Intel Macs, and I'm like, oh, crap, I totally forgot about that.
Right.
Yeah. But at the time, and I must have followed directions really well, because at the time, I see the disk, I look right at it, and I'm told, you didn't see that. And I'm like, no, I just, and they're like, no, you didn't see that. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't see anything.
Right. Wow, that's, that is so very, very, that is so very interesting. No one, you know, Apple, that is one of the most successful secrets that Apple has kept. The iPhone was kept secret less well than OS X for Intel.
And the iPhone was a pretty good secret.
Well, we had rumors here and there. We had like the vaguest of rumors about Apple working on a cell phone. Mm-hmm. But it was never not like it is today where because, you know, Apple is Apple has to make so many things that, you know, the supply chain leaks like a sieve. And in fact, you know, that was a pre-announced product because Apple knew that they had to get FCC approval.
Right.
And that the approval process would absolutely leak their details. And so Steve wanted to control the presentation of the iPhone even before it was ready to be unveiled, just to, you know, just to keep it from being an FCC, you know, a regulatory filing, you know, announcement.
Right. Yeah. Well, and Apple's all about controlling their message.
Right.
So, of course, they orchestrated a big presentation so that when the FCC documents would inevitably come out, it would be no big deal. And right. They did a great job. And I do remember sitting there in the audience when Steve Jobs pauses after saying, you know, it's a phone, it's a music player, it's an internet connection device.
Are you getting it?
Are you getting it? And all the air was sucked out of the room as we went. And the hair stood up on our arms, and it's like, oh my God. Yeah. Oh, good times.
Good times. Good times. All right. Well, back to OS X. It was introduced as Mac OS X. And as a matter of fact, the what had what was Cheetah, right? 10.0 was Cheetah?
Oh.
10.0 was Cheetah. I just wrote this up yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, because 10.2 was... Oh, I can't remember now, but I remember it was not Cheetah. So, yes, Cheetah.
I think it was Puma.
Puma.
What was 10? What was 10? What was the beta?
Wasn't the beta Jaguar?
No. Really? Was it? Was it Jaguar? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Jaguar is the one that got reused. The name got reused.
Mac OS X code names. Because we are, as usual,
making some sausage.
public beta was Kodiak. Kodiak. Cheetah, Puma, Jaguar, Panther, Tiger, Leopard, Snow Leopard, Lion, Mountain Lion, Maverick, Yosemite.
I thought there was a cat name that was used in the beta that got reused in the official releases, but apparently I'm wrong.
It was a bear. But Apple didn't use Cheetah. We knew about it, right? We knew that it was called Cheetah. And I think we knew Puma. I think Steve may have even said Puma on stage. But Jaguar was the first one that was actually used by Apple in, like, you know, its marketing.
Right. And I remember watching the presentation and thinking, can someone give Steve some speech therapy? Because I really don't like the way he says Jaguar. Because he would say Jaguire.
Yeah, I forgot about that. He did pronounce it weird.
Jaguire.
And it wasn't just Jaguar. It was
Who's Jaguar?
That didn't quite ring a bell with me, but let's go with it.
Trust me, it was painful.
Yeah, fair enough. Do you remember waiting? Did you wait in line for a box copy of Tenno?
I have a funny story about that.
Well, that was not a setup. I did not know that you had a story. So tell us.
Okay, so I could not stand in line because I was there was something happening. I had to be at a client's. I don't remember, but there was something happening, and I couldn't go stand in line. So my wife at the time, she went and stood in line, and she was all excited, and she's in line, and gets in, gets the copy of OS 10, and realized that there's like the most recent release of the MacBook was out, you know, the white polycarbonate thing, and she needed a new computer really bad, and so she bought one. And so so when I saw her later in the day, I called her from a client, and I said, were you able to get OS 10? She says, well, yes. I'm like, but what's wrong? She's like, well, I also picked up a computer, and it's really great, and you're going to love it. And so the initial version of OS 10 cost me a lot of money because it also included the cost of a laptop. But she needed the laptop really bad.
I don't think the white MacBook was out in 2001. OS 10 was released in March of 2001. It was before the Apple stores opened.
Oh, you know what? You're right. I'm mixing up my OS 10 releases because
2006 was the white one.
Okay, so that would have been Panther.
Panther would have been. Let's see here. Yeah, I believe Panther.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, that makes sense because she went to the Aspen Grove Apple Store, which was the only Apple Store in Colorado at the time when the initial version of OS 10 came out. That store didn't exist.
Oh no, it was Leopard was 2006. Panther was 2003.
All right. Well, whenever that white MacBook was available,
that was 2006.
Okay. So in 2006, OS 10, that update cost me a lot more than $120.
Well, it cost her too. She was earning a living, wasn't she?
Oh yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
But it sounds funnier when I say it the way I did.
Well, true, it does. Or you know, funnier, misogynistic, tomato, tomato.
Yeah. Whatever. So I. Wow. So yes. I have stood in line for many OS 10 releases, so I must have stood in line for the original version of OS 10, and I bet it was at CompUSA.
Well, yeah, it was if you wanted to buy back then. This is before Apple launched its Apple stores, which was in the fall of 2001, right? And the public beta and 10.0 were both released through Apple's stores within a store in CompUSA. And CompUSA, as I kind of quipped in my my write-up on this yesterday, ask your parents who CompUSA what CompUSA was. But that was a computer-only retail store. And Apple used them to learn about retailing.
And it worked out pretty well because they learned exactly what not to do in a retail store by watching the way CompUSA ran their business.
Well, yeah, it worked out well for Apple.
Yes.
It didn't work out so well. CompUSA eventually went under, of course. And you know, it's funny that the stores within a store were actually fairly successful. And they were staffed with they were supposedly staffed with Apple employees, but really they were actually staffed by contractors that Apple contracted. Apple contracted out to companies to run its employees in the stores within a store.
There were specific locations where they had actual Apple employees. Mm. But it would be like the one employee and everyone else would be a contractor.
Yeah, but that was
And that was at CompUSA.
Well, that, like in Austin, the people have I told you about this idea I've got for a band in Austin? the store within a store employees were fantastic. They were true Apple fans. They really knew their stuff. And they were not CompUSA employees. They were absolutely and positively Apple employees, except for except for the fact that they were technically third-party contractors. So, are you sure that that wasn't the case where you're talking about too?
No, I'm sure because they even had their Apple business cards.
Yeah, these guys had Apple business cards too.
And the one guy—it's
been a long time.
Yeah, and one of the guys he was bummed when he couldn't work for Apple anymore because what he was doing with school was changing. So he had to give up his job with Apple, which meant that he gave up his, I think it was like supervisor positions in some areas. But anyhow, the point is the store in a store thing worked out really well for Apple and in the end, not so well for CompUSA.
It actually may have prolonged their existence because it did bring people in.
True,
because it was the only place you could get Apple stuff, and it was the only place you could get Apple stuff and not be treated like crap by employees. At Best Buy, you tended to be treated like crap by Fry's. Fry's didn't treat you like crap, but you know it's always hit or miss with Fry's. CompUSA and the Apple Store within a store was the one place you could actually go, and the stuff's going to be set up. Stuff's going to be working, usually, at least. Not always, but usually. Stuff's going to be working. There's going to be inventory on hand, and you're going to find somebody there who actually knows about the products. And the release of OS X was really, it was a big part of that entire experiment.
Yes, and it was really cool having a place that I could go where it was like a little Apple store. I could go in and I could talk with the trained Apple people. I could play with the new computers. I could play with the new iPods as they came out. It was awesome.
Yes. Sorry. A little typing there. Got a new article in the system, you see.
Look at you making articles happen at the same time as a show. Again, more sausage people.
Professionals. We are so professional. Did
you ever get kicked out of a CompUSA?
No.
Oh, I totally did.
Solid from like
from the manager of the store.
Because you're sitting there telling customers that their employees are idiots?
Pretty much.
I'm just guessing, by the way. I have not heard the story before.
No, that's pretty much it. Now, I every now and then, like if I had a lull in my schedule, periodically, I would just go into CompUSA, knowing that there were windows of time when the Apple employees wouldn't be there. And I would just kind of troll. And if someone needed help, I would give them help.
Good Lord.
You were that guy. I was totally that guy. But I did my best to not be creepy. And there was one time I'd gone in, and I think actually I'd gone in to buy something. And as I'm heading back to the Apple section, there's this woman talking with one of the CompUSA red shirts. And she says, so I'm starting design school. And so what they told me is that I should have a Macintosh, and I need to have Quark Express, and I need to have Photoshop, and she's going down the list of everything she needs, and the guy says, "Oh, I know exactly what you need," and takes her completely away from the Apple section.
Nice.
And shows her some horrible, horrible, crappy PC laptop, which is whatever overstock inventory they needed to push that day.
Right, they were getting the spiff.
Yeah,
Apple didn't pay spiffs.
Right. And so he's showing her all this stuff, and she keeps asking all the it was almost as if she was a plant, just how perfect her questions were as a setup for you should go buy a Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I couldn't take it anymore because everything the guy was telling her was wrong. So I went over and I politely interrupted, and I said I couldn't help but overhearing, and this is what you're saying you need. And the computer he's showing you is completely wrong for what you want. You're going to spend a lot of money buying this and go to school and not have anything that does what you need. So hold on. Let's go over here, and I can show you the Macintosh that fits your needs perfectly, and I can show you which software you need. And, you know, and so I took her over, and I did the whole sale. And and by this point, you know, I've pretty much wrapped up the whole deal. And the manager comes over and introduces himself and says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, this woman was getting wrong information, so I was helping her out." "You can't do that." And I'm like, "Well, actually, I just did. So yeah. Apparently I can."
I guess I can.
And
No, we don't want you to do that. Oh, okay, that's true. All right, no, I get that, but I can do it.
And I did it. And now what, he was already upset with me.
Yeah, sure.
But what got me,
They hated selling Apple stuff because Apple didn't pay spiffs, and the store didn't get a good margin on it because Apple's margins were tightly controlled.
Right.
And generally speaking, people that worked at CompUSA's, people that worked at Best Buy's, not always, but these, many of these folks were outright Apple haters.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So he tells you can't do that. You say, "Well, I already did."
And I said, "Look, I've helped her pick out everything she needs to leave the store." And it was going to be, I don't know, probably $3,000 worth of
purchase. Than that if it was a Mac and all those software titles.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so it's probably about $5,000.
Sure.
And the manager started getting kind of like inappropriately cranky with me.
Yep.
And so I turned to the woman and I said, "You don't need bad customer service like this. All you need to do is go to MacMall.com or whatever it was at the time that was
Mac Warehouse, Mac Mall,
one of those." And I said, "And they'll be able to sell you everything online, and you won't have to give these people any money." And I hadn't even finished saying that. The manager's like, "Get out of my store."
Did she leave too?
Oh yeah, she left. She thanked me in the parking lot.
Nice. And, good times.
Yeah, good times.
So here's a question for you.
Uh-huh.
OS X, 14 years old.
Right.
14 years old now. When the heck is Apple going to replace it? Why are we still using a 14-year-old operating system?
Of course it's. Oh, Brian, we're using an operating system that's much older than 14.
Well, okay, all right. Only if you want to be accurate. Because OS X was built on NextOS.
Which was built on what?
FreeBSD.
Yeah, so we're talking a Unix core, and Unix is really old.
Actually, God, someone's going to hammer me on that. It was the mock kernel, wasn't just FreeBSD, and what Apple did was under license, because Next had the license.
Yes.
Yeah. So, getting a little bit of my lore a tad bit mixed up, but it's a Unix based operating system, and it was based on the mock kernel. Anyway, the point is that I'm mostly pedantic, and that Next itself was built starting in like 1986, and it shipped in 88 or 89, I think, and or maybe even 87. Anyway, it shipped in the late 80s, and then Apple bought Next in 1997, and Apple took Next took over Apple, and Apple took the Next operating system and eventually made OS X with it.
Right.
So it is much older than 14. And it's been significantly updated through the years. It's absolutely a thoroughly modern operating system, but it's still a 14-year-old concept. And really, it's a 14-year-old concept of a Unix of a consumer interface for a Unix operating system that really built on what Apple had done with Mac OS.
Yes.
So when are we going to get something new? I love my Mac. I love OS X, But it's 14. It's almost shocking that Apple hasn't moved on to a completely new operating system with a completely new foundation.
Okay. When you put it that way, now I have to change what I was going to say, because it's the completely new foundation part that changes it all. They did do a new thing when they gave us iOS, but that's built on the same foundation.
Yeah, iOS is essentially a very streamlined version of OS X. I mean, it certainly has evolved to be much more than just that.
Oh, yes.
But that's how it started life out. It's like OS X stripped down to exactly and only what you need to run a smartphone.
Which was a brilliant move.
It was absolutely a brilliant move. It's absolutely brilliant. I'm not complaining about iOS, and I'm not complaining about OS X, but it just kind of hit me when I was writing this thing up yesterday. And we can thank, by the way, Neil, the noted architect Pan, over at Apple for Architects for reminding us that that OS X had just had a birthday.
That's right. And I have to toss in a special shout out to Neil's son, who built a Lego Apple Watch based on an article that I wrote. That is so awesome.
It is awesome. But as I'm writing this thing up, and I realize that OS X is 14 years old, and it's like, wow, I cannot believe Apple hasn't moved on to something else.
Well, Apple, I think, has had some serious internal issues moving on. Do you remember when ZFS was going to be the new file format structure
Yes.
for OS X?
Yes.
And that was going to be just like above and beyond amazingly awesome. And it just quietly died.
Yeah, it's true. And we have like Avi Tavanian, who was the brainiac that helped develop the Mach kernel and then helped develop OS X. He left long ago. Scott Forstall right. is gone. Of course, Scott had become the iOS guy. I mean, you know, there are tons of brainiacs still at Apple. There's a lot that's going on in Apple. And maybe not completely changing the foundation and instead giving us these iterative versions of OS X, maybe that is for the best. It just surprises me that Apple hasn't moved on to something completely different for its desktop and portable computers.
It is interesting, and now you have me really wondering why. What is it that makes it so that Apple either can't or has chosen to not really move to a different way of thinking about how we interact with our files?
If I can quote Joss Whedon, or quote Giles, as written by Joss Whedon, mm-hmm. I've got a theory.
Okay.
And that theory is, it's not really an extensive quote.
No, but the awesome thing for me is that I did see the first two seasons of Buffy, so I totally got the reference.
Well, you actually saw the musical too.
Yeah,
and that's from the musical.
Oh, that's okay. So that's why I recognize yes. that line. Okay.
Yes. Anyway, sorry, rabbit holes. The theory that I have is that when Apple decided to do iOS, you know, for a long time, it was the same team that was developing the core of both operating systems. It may still actually be. I don't think so, but it may still actually be the case. Right? Because Apple had this whole startup mentality. Steve had this whole startup mentality. You run lean, you run very small teams, and you stress the heck out of them out so that they can do these amazing things. And when Apple started concentrating on iOS, the task of developing iOS and making it everything that it could be, and then the simultaneous task of continuing to advance OS X, those are two major efforts, and developing the next thing, right? The thing that's going to replace either one of them or both of them.
Mm-hmm.
is becomes the third task instead of the second task.
Yeah, okay. Yep, I can see that.
And of course, we have the team that was taken to develop the Apple Watch. All right, this is yet another project. And we've got the team now that's working on the car. And we know that there are a lot of iPhone people that are working on the car.
Right.
So, you know, it's... I think if Apple was still only making computers, we would have had a new foundation by now.
You know, I would have been satisfied if we had just been given a foundation that is as capable as what we had before. In some ways, OS X is far more capable than any operating system Apple has ever given us. In other ways, I look at it and I'm like, I was doing this stuff in System 8. Why can't I do it in System 10?
Like what?
All right, well, how about having an operating system that actually knows what a file is, as opposed to being, at this point, dumber, and I'm using that in a definition, like in a proper dictionary sense, dumber than Windows, in that there's OS X has no way of knowing what a file actually is. Like what the we don't have creator types anymore. So you can put any extension on a file.
I think the Apple actually saw that as progress.
Which is crazy, because that is not progress. That's a major step backwards. And even Microsoft knew that. And so they fixed Windows at some point. So it can figure out what a file is even without the extension on the end. And that just seems like a very core feature that should still be there. Now, maybe there's a different way to do it without having to include the creator type data in the file. But that's one of those things that annoys me to no end.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, and of course, now that I got myself all riled up on that, because that's one of my huge pet peeves, I can't think of the other things that are bothering me. But there are other things that we used to be able to do that we cannot anymore.
Fair enough. Hold on. Hey, Ainsley. Yeah, bring me the bag. No, the other one. No. The other, that one. Yeah, hurry up. I've got a show. Hurry up. I've got a show to do. All right. We have viewer mail.
Oh, I was wondering what was in that bag. The way it was kind of wrestling around, I just assumed it was Sebulba in there.
It is.
And it's so great that Ainsworth was able to drag that bag over.
His name is Sierra. It's Ainsley and Sierra. You should, you do not give our interns enough respect. They at least deserve to be called their names.
I change the newspapers in their cages like once every other week. What more do they want?
Yeah, all right. Good point. All right. So Tom Wiles. We're going to get in trouble with PETA. Tom Wiles wrote to us. And he said, why I listen. And the reason why he listens is...
Do tell.
Quote, amusing metrosexual Apple idolatry. Bang, unquote. thank you, Tom. That's awesome.
To be fair, Brian, you are a very snappy dresser.
yeah, or something. And we also heard, I am so appreciative of this one, we heard from Brian Gossard. He said, and I quote, regarding the pronunciation of Tesla, notice how I said that, I asked my mother-in-law, who is from Serbia, what the correct pronunciation is. She confirmed that it is definitely Tesla with an S rather than a Z sound. Her native language is Serbian. I don't even. HRVATSKI?
Yeah, anyway. Respect for everyone, I'm not even going to try.
Her native language is spoken quite frequently in Serbia, so I trust her.
That seems reasonable.
And he also said, this was very, very touching. He said, I love the show. I started listening back in 2011. There was a gap for a long time and I really missed you guys, but I'm glad I kept you in my feed and saw that you began the podcast again. I love what you do. Please keep it up. I look forward to it every week. Say hello to the interns for me. LOL. Hey, interns. LOL. That's all I got.
You know what? That's so nice. I'm going to change the papers in their cage an extra time.
Oh, look at you. It's like your heart grew two sizes.
It's almost like that.
Almost like that, yeah. It's almost like that. And anyway, thanks very much. Tesla, I'm so delighted to know for sure that it's Tesla. And I'm going to fix that. And I'm going to iron my hands every time I say Tesla. except for that time. Next time I do it, I'm gonna iron my hands. But not this time. Tesla. So anyway, thanks. If you want to send us a message, please do. It's acm@macobserver.com. And always a good shot that we'll mention it.
That's right.
Even if you're calling us idiots, because goodness knows we deserve it.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Would not be the first time.
And you really are a snappy dresser.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I am. Snappy, snap, snap, snap. That's me. That's what they say about me. All right. So in the meanwhile, today...
You just made me snort.
That's good. Yesterday we learned that Apple has bought FoundationDB. That's a company that does database stuff.
That's kind of interesting.
You know, it is. Most of the time when a database company is bought, it's because someone wants to release a database product.
Right. So does this mean FileMaker is on the skids now?
Yeah, Apple's working on replacing FileMaker instead of OS X. No, I don't think so. I think that Apple wanted the people and their technology to beef up, 99%, this is all about iTunes, the App Store, iBook Store, and the Mac App Store. It's about making those transactions. You know, here's the thing. Apple is this huge company, right? You know, we think about Apple, we think about OS X, we think about iOS, we think about iPhones and iPads, maybe iPods, certainly Macs, the Apple Watch now, Apple cars even. Right, we think about those things. We don't think about the fact that Apple is this huge, massive company when it comes to doing online transactions. And part of why we don't think about it is because they make it look so easy because it tends to work.
Yeah, the times that that their purchase system fails is so rare that I really can't think of the last time that I remember having like a double purchase.
Right, that's true. Like that. I haven't seen that sort of thing. I haven't noted any complaints about that. Now, Apple's it's funny we say this because it was just a couple of weeks ago when Apple's the transaction, their ability to do transaction was actually offline for half a day.
Whoops-a-daisy.
And it was so unusual that it garnered news.
Yeah, I did math about how much money was not being spent during the downtime.
What'd you come up with?
Oh, I don't remember now. Was it 25
it was
million?
25 million, yeah. See, I knew. I was feeding you the line there.
Thank you.
Because we're professionals.
We are. Sausage people.
$25 million that theoretically Apple, you know, that's just based on like how long they were down and how much they normally do.
Right. And of course, that $25 million, a lot of that did get me. Wow.
Deferred transactions, issues. not lost transactions.
There we go. Thank you. Because apparently words be hard for Jeff now.
That's heard what I. So anyway, Apple does a lot of transactions, and so this company specializes in what do they call it? NoSQL.
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 Which is sometimes also referred to as not only SQL.
Right, and it's a way of structuring databases without using a relational structure, and so it's essentially it's just a different way of storing and crunching numbers. And apparently it's like, considered the bee's knees and some of the big data in the world of big data.
And so now Apple owns a company that makes database
that specializes in these technologies.
Yes. I was trying to figure out how to work the bee's knees in there, and I was just failing.
They also, so like, I guess their unofficial motto was NoSQL, yes, ACID. And ACID in this case stands for a set of guidelines to ensure that transactions are accurate.
Right. Which, so all of you that were thinking, oh, alien spit, no.
No. Or LSD. No, that's also no.
Huh. Hadn't even thought of that.
Really? You didn't go there?
Of course I did.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. I'll edit that out. I don't want to look like an idiot.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. So it's interesting. It's interesting that like I said, you know, usually when a database companies tend to be purchased by database companies or companies who want to become database companies. You know, your SAPs, your Microsofts, your once upon a time Borlands, your Oracles.
Well, when you think about it, Apple is a very big database company. It's just that the database is not the front end.
It's not what they sell. And not only is it not what they sell, it's interesting that you know, Apple doesn't offload this to the companies who specialize in that. Like, they don't offload this stuff to Oracle, apparently. I mean, it's, for instance.
That's actually really interesting.
And you would think they would, because Steve and Larry Ellison were, like, best buds.
But apparently Apple wants to have complete control over their databases.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't think this is momentous news that Apple bought FoundationDB. I just think it's interesting.
I agree. It's very interesting. And I'm curious how this purchase will impact us as users, because I'm certain we're not going to see something that's very front-facing and direct.
No, this is all about the back end.
Right. Yeah, we're not going to have some big Apple media event where they say, and here's Apple Watch 2.0. And by the way, and here's this so awesome database that we've built for managing your runs.
Well, I could see Apple at some point bragging that, and we've been conducting, you know, like 3 million transactions a minute, or, you know, or 100,000 transactions a minute or something like that. I could see them bragging about that at some point. They just wouldn't give us any specifics on how they managed to do this and make it look smooth.
Sure. Yeah. Very, very interesting, though.
Yeah. I honestly find it interesting. I do find it interesting.
And now there's a bunch of companies out there that are going to have to find different tools for their databases.
Yeah, I don't think FoundationDB was a huge company. I don't think they had a lot of customers. But they did announce on their website that they were no longer offering their product for download. So,
right.
Yeah, there are certainly some companies that won't be able to turn to them for their solutions.
Right, and I'm guessing that... Those companies will be pretty disappointed.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. But on the other hand, they may just kind of keep running with what they have for as long as they can and sell the company and let someone else's
product. Well, there's other people doing this stuff, too.
That's true.
I mean, like I say, you know, Apple bought the... my guess, we don't know terms of the deal. Apple issued its, you know, its standard boilerplate. Yeah, we buy companies every once in a while. Leave me alone. Right, their standard statement to that effect, but it seems most likely to me if I follow the logic trail, Apple bought FoundationDB for the people and for the technology that they had.
That seems very reasonable.
And Apple will put them to work making their system better, making Apple's back end better.
Right. Yeah. So they will be unsung heroes in the Apple corporate machine.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound nearly as romantic when I say it.
No. No, but it's better than talking about the back end all the time. It kind of makes me a little uncomfortable. So, all right. So let's
know what you mean.
Let's move on. We had what was the news you did yesterday on the Apple TV, or is that today? That was earlier today.
What, No, I believe that was yesterday.
So yesterday, TED? They picked up the TED channel. What else?
Yeah. TED channel and Young Hollywood and... oh, I forgot the third one. It's like a food and leisure channel. And it's like Taste Well or something. And all three of these are channels that have been brought on where you don't need to have a cable subscription, which is nice because there are people like me that don't have cable subscriptions.
Right.
And so getting some new content, especially something as interesting as TED Talks.
Right.
I mean, that's really cool.
Yep.
And something that would be akin to having like a Food Network channel sort of thing. So I'm getting some new content that has been totally outside of my reach for quite a while now. So that's kind of neat.
Well, I don't know. The TED stuff is available on the interwebs.
Right. And
most of it, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because they have their YouTube channel. So there are ways to get at the TED Talks that don't involve needing an Apple TV. But having a focused channel that's curated and maintained by TED proper is kind of nice because now I have a very convenient way to watch TED Talks.
Right. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But it made me... I think because you know we had this news that Apple is looking at launching its own delivery service of some sort.
Right,
it's a couple of weeks ago. Did we talk about that on this show? I know we talked about it on TDO.
Some of our conversations blend together, so I don't remember. I know we talked about it on Daily Observations, but I'm not sure if we did here.
And I think I talked about it on the Tech Night Owl too.
All right, so we get around, don't we?
Yeah, well, yes, you do. And so a lot of the talk about an Apple TV service is essentially along the lines of like, you know, this would let me cut the cord, meaning you could ditch your... You could ditch your Apple TV service. I'm sorry, you could ditch your cable or your satellite.
Okay.
And just get your content through the interwebs.
Right.
And my problem with that is that's not... What Apple is talking about doing isn't really... Or I'm sorry. What we think Apple is working on, which is a service that's going to deliver content in some way... That's not really cutting the cord.
No. I see where you're going with this. It's what you're doing is you're trading one cord for another.
Yeah, you're trading one cord for some wireless. You know?
Yeah.
You're not... I mean, which is fine. I mean, don't get me... The thing about Apple TV, an Apple TV service that appeals to me is not... The notion of cutting the cord. I don't even care about cutting the cord. What appeals to me is the ability to watch my daily TV through an interface designed by Apple and not designed by the numbnuts Comcast or AT&T or Time Warner.
I think that's a pretty reasonable goal because from my experience when I had cable... It was so bad that I gave them back the cable box.
And listen, if you're one of the numbnuts at Comcast, AT&T, or Time Warner, yeah, I'm sorry, but your interfaces stink. Xfinity actually is a step up for what that's worth, but it still stinks.
Yeah, well, Xfinity, it's just Comcast.
And, you know, I'm sorry, but so the new interface for Comcast's Xfinity service...
Oh, okay. I'm with you.
Is improved over previous Comcast interfaces. But in my opinion, it still stinks. And all of these companies have narrowed the gap with TiVo. But I think that Apple can out TiVo and that Apple can out Apple TiVo.
There we go.
I want I want a great interface. I want a great experience for watching TV. I want an interface that doesn't make me hate it every time I use it. And so far, the world has shown to us that, the existing players can't do it. I do like TiVo.
I do like TiVo.
But that's still only in comparison to everything else.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of room for improvement here. Apple, I'm looking at you too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, okay, so for me, cutting the cord means a couple things. It's not just a very basic, I don't have a cable television subscription anymore, therefore I've cut my cord. For me, it's also I get to pick and choose the types of content I want from wherever I want, and that content is now mobile, meaning it's not limited to my television screen. It can be on my iPhone or my iPad or my Mac. So for me, cutting the cord is also a philosophical thing about, well, and a technical thing about where I view and when.
Yeah, but to be fair, you're really unusual
on so many levels.
On so many levels. But in particular, you don't watch TV like I think most Americans do. You don't just sit down and watch TV. If you're sitting down to watch TV, you're watching a particular program.
Yes. Yes, that's absolutely true.
And when you're done with that program, you stop watching the TV.
Yeah. Okay, now I'm kind of creeped out. It's like you've been here watching me watch television.
Alternately, we've had conversations.
Okay, I feel a little better now. Okay. I'm not quite so creeped out.
All right, yes. That's good. And for me, I tend to watch... I get bored just watching TV, and I tend to have TV on in the background while I'm doing other things. There are some shows that I pay close attention to, of course. Mm-hmm. But, you know, by and large, I've got a lot of Discovery Channel, Science Channel, History Channel, some BBC. Got that on in the background while I'm doing work. I've got it on right now. I'm kidding, I don't. But
but you could.
I have.
Hey, total rabbit hole here.
Yeah.
A day or two ago, I sat down and watched an episode of Star Trek Enterprise.
Yeah.
And I watched the entire series when it was on originally. And then periodically, I'll just go back and watch episodes. And it's not quite as good as I remember. The thing I noticed was the interior of the Enterprise was totally furnished at IKEA. How did I not know that before now?
Because it probably wasn't IKEA. It was probably just taking its design elements from Danish furniture.
No, I'm pretty sure I've seen some of the stuff that they have stashed around on the Enterprise in IKEA.
All right, fair enough. All right, let's get out of this rabbit hole, though.
Okay.
The thing that appeals to me about Apple doing a TV service isn't so much about cutting the cord. It's about being able to have that Apple experience for watching and managing my TV. I think that's a worthwhile distinction to be made, because I really don't think that most Americans want to cut the cord. I think cord cutting is something that is reserved to a very small percentage of the overall population. Most people don't care about this stuff at all, let alone, you know, care enough to be willing or wanting to actually change it. I think that most Americans are quite, even if they complain about it, they have no interest in changing the fact that they're paying the cable companies to deliver them TV because they like to watch TV.
Sure. Yeah. I have no problem admitting that I'm quite an anomaly when it comes to television watching. Yeah, and there are a lot of people out there, like you said, that they are very happy with what they have today. And if they had something that was more complex, meaning they had to go and hunt to find where all this content was, they would be really upset.
Yeah. And to be fair, the kids today, maybe young adults, maybe some millennials on down, there's a growing number of those folks who are not interested in being planted in front of a TV either, and they're interested in consuming their content on their smartphones, maybe their tablets, and maybe their laptops. So, I mean, there's definitely a change that's happening out there.
Oh, yes.
And I wonder where Apple's going to end up fitting into it. I wonder what Apple's going to actually introduce to us.
I'm very interested in seeing what they bring to market. And I'm also really curious to see if it's something that I feel I need to pay for.
Right.
I thought for a little while about, should I get HBO now?
Sure.
And
the answer is yes.
No, I'm not going to do it.
But you should. It's worth it. Their programming is fantastic. You should work. You should do it just for the John Oliver show.
Oh, man. Okay. Now you throw John Oliver into the mix. That's, yeah. I love the stuff of his that I've seen on YouTube.
He's doing such a bang up job on that show. That's a good show. But and there's lots of other amazing programming on HBO. But whether or not one specifically gets HBO, clearly a la carte services are coming. Seems like Apple has a role to play, could have a role to play in that. And you know, I'm looking forward to it. But for me, it's not about cutting the cord, it's about improving my experience.
You know, I have a feeling that's what a lot of people mean when they say cut the cord. They don't really mean cut the cord. They mean improve my experience.
And they're
interpreting that as cut the cord from Comcast or Dish or whoever and get the cord from someone that gives me the content I want the way I want it.
Now, I actually think a lot of people who want to cut the cord just want to be able to somehow get free TV and that they don't have to pay for it. They're just going to somehow magically get it over the internet and, you know, they don't have to pay for it. They don't have to watch commercials and the stuff just magically appears and it's created and no one makes any money and they don't care.
And, oh, well, those people are going to learn what disappointment is.
Yeah, because that's...
That's not how it works.
It's not how it works. Let's not go down that rabbit hole, though.
All right, fair enough. We'll go down that rabbit
hole. In fact, let's just climb out of the rabbit hole that is the Apple Context Machine because we're out of time.
You know, I'm looking at the clock and you're right. We are.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? Yeah.
All right. That's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And hey, thanks for listening.
Now, you can check me out at geektells.com. It's T-E-L-L-S, geektells.com. That's my personal blog.
I was just thinking, we often do check you out, Brian. But that's not what you meant.
Yeah, right. You can find Jeff at freshbrewedtales.com. T-A-L-E-S.
And that's where I talk about the interesting things that I see people do at coffee shops.
Indeed. And we would like it if you did that. Now, our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer, including me and Jeff. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. Thank you, Cashfly. The bass is recorded by Boom just for TMO. And that's all for this week.
And as always, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.